We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Sooner Sports Podcast, your all-access pass to Sooner Sports. The Sooner Sports Podcast is presented by Allstate. Are you in good hands? And by Riverwind Resort. Riverwind Resort, the place to be.
Oh, mama! What a play!
Now, here's your host, Chris Plank.
Welcome into the game plan. Toby Rowland, I'm Chris Plank. What did we learn today at the Bob Stoops press conference?
What did we learn? We learned that Oboe has maybe more of an issue than we feared.
Did you see the Ryan Aber tweet after the game? They had I did not see this. Oh, here we go. No, I did not see this myself. Sorry, audio expert here, not knowing how to use the equipment. Apologies. But they had the trainers there, athletic trainers. And they had some doctor personnel, and I guess they ended up taking him out on a stretcher. So
really,
it was he was battling. I don't know if it was fatigue or exactly what it was. He was fighting through the second half. He, you know, we reported it. I think everyone saw it that was there. I don't know how much they talked about it on the broadcast, but you know, he didn't play the latter part of the first half. Really affected that.
Wouldn't that just be what this defense needs if he had to miss any time?
I wish no one really asked about that, the Bolton package, too much, did they today?
No.
I thought that would have been an intriguing angle.
He was another guy
that
got banged up.
He didn't, and I guess that might have been the reason why we didn't talk about it, because you didn't see him much in the second half.
Matt Romar, they said he wasn't sure if he'd be okay, so there was some injury stuff. I mean, you know, this was mostly about the defense at the press conference today, and that's to be expected. The Oklahoma offense, that was the darndest game. I mean, let's just back up to Saturday night.
Yeah, maybe we should start with maybe not bearing the lead, sorry. Other than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Yeah, that was none of us have ever seen anything like that. And it's the second time since you and I have been doing this that you have had a post-game situation where the offense is thrilled, and rightfully so. They were fantastic, and the offensive coaches are thrilled. And the defense and the defensive coaches are glad they won the game, but far from thrilled with how the night went. And it's an interesting dichotomy because all of those people get on a bus and get on a plane together and travel. And Mike Stoops and Lincoln Riley are, you know, on the same coaching staff, and yet they couldn't feel more opposite about how their side of the ball performed on Saturday. So Monday's presser was mostly about the defense and what do you do? You know, what do you do? And it sounded like that Bob felt like there were a lot of middle mistakes, that he wasn't thrilled with some effort by some guys on occasions, and that for the most part he felt like they were in the right place to make plays and just didn't make plays. And, you know, without going back and watching it play by play, which I haven't done yet.
Do you plan on doing that, by the way? I'm thinking about doing it tonight.
Yeah, probably. I usually do. So, you know, these night games kind of kind of throw you off the next week. They get you behind your schedule by about a half a day. So hopefully I can fit that in at some point. But, I mean, I believe him. That Patrick Mahomes was sensational. And he put the ball in some uncatchable places at times. And then there were times where it looked like the pass could have been broken up or whatever, and the tech guy just wanted it a little more. So this is going to be a very interesting week to be a part of the OU defense. Interesting is the word I use because I'm not in the middle of it. It might not be a lot of fun, you know? I mean, because they got to fix some things now. They're 4-0 in the Big 12, and the next 2 weeks they should win.
Right.
But West Virginia, Baylor, and Oklahoma State are good. They're looming at the end. And if they're going to win those games, then they got to fix some things on the defensive side of the ball.
Whenever I was getting ready to drive home on Saturday night, I posted a tweet that I felt pretty confident about, and a tweet that best kind of laid out my emotions, because what I thought we witnessed was awesome. I mean, I was just blown away by it. And just to make sure I phrase it correctly, I said that was amazing, unreal atmosphere, unreal game. Immediately I started getting crushed. Because, again, it's like a golf game. Well, not yours, more like mine. You drive the ball great, but you can't putt or chip. You know, you feel like, wow, I've got my middle irons tuned in, and then you're shanking drives left and right. It wasn't that complete game. This, though, seemed to be so incredible that it almost defied even logic. Mm-hmm. How you are on cloud nine if you're a fan of offensive football.
Right.
And I am. And with every storyline, I mean, the NFL is trying, as we tape this, we're getting ready for Monday Night Football. The NFL has to drum up a storyline with Brock Osweiler and the whole 6 starts he made for the Broncos, going back up against a team that he played with. This is one of those storylines that doesn't come along very often in sports.
Yeah.
And the guy who was the feature just played all out. Incredible. But yet no one wants to hear that right now. And I'm not trying to pander and say, hey, be happy with the win. Trust me, that's not what I'm saying at all. That's how frustrated a lot of fans are, and obviously coaches too, because they don't want to have defensive performances like that. Nobody really seems to be overly enthused.
No, I get it. I mean, you want to be great on both sides of the ball.
Right.
And certainly on defense, Oklahoma has a history and a tradition of great defense around here for not just the Bob Stoops era, long before that. I mean,
right.
You know, Oklahoma's kind of hung its hat on a couple of things. One's running the football through the years, and the other is playing great defense. And I think a good comparison, though, is the – and brought this up on television – is the Tennessee game last year where – OU was absolutely anemic offensively for 3 quarters in that game. They couldn't do anything, and the defense just kept getting stops over and over. They got stops. It was 17-0, and then it was 17-3, and they just kept giving the offense a chance until finally the offense was able to put something together, and they won that game. And the opposite was true on Saturday night. You know, the defense couldn't get off the field. They just could not get a third down stop. A couple of times they forced fourth down, and they picked them up. And fortunately, the offense kept scoring. And Baker and the guys said, "We got your back tonight." And they just kept scoring and never let Texas Tech get out in front. And they won the football game. And that's the bottom line, is they found a way to win the game. Now, does that still doesn't feel good that you gave up 59? And like I said, they've got some things to fix going forward, but I do think it is proper to appreciate what the Oklahoma offense did on Saturday night. Tech's defense is not good, okay? But Baker Mayfield had a whole lot of pressure on him going into that game. And I think all of us were expecting him to maybe be a little, at the very least, a little jittery early, you know? And he was as sharp as he's ever been. Deep passes. It wasn't a bunch of dink and dunk stuff.
Right.
I mean, he was carving them up. He only threw 36 passes the other night compared to 88 by his counterpart. But he was as precise as he's ever been. Joe Mixon.
31 for 263.
I mean, we knew he was special. But he showed us how special he is capable of being on Saturday night in every which way that he could, catching the ball with one hand, breaking tackles, as a pure running back. Awesome. And DD once again, and, you know, you kind of saw this one coming against the Tech secondary, is just running free. And I think this is the way it's going to be. I mean, as long as he's okay, this isn't a flash in the pan thing with DD Westbrook. Now, that's four straight games where he's been just spectacular. So while what we need to, obviously, as a fan base and media and everything and coaches, I probably, you know, getting the Oklahoma defense better is what's on everybody's mind today. Understandably so. I don't want to just gloss over 66 points and 854 yards of offense for the good guys, for us on Saturday night. That was amazing.
He's the voice of the Sooners, Toby Rowland. I'm Chris Plank. It's the Game Plan, our look at game week. And back on the Saturday that was, it's brought to you by the Riverwind Resort and Allstate. So I like thinking about this angle. And I was trying to, you know, we have two very defensive-minded guys, two of the greats at linebacker in Oklahoma history, and Rufus Alexander and Teddy Lehman on our crew. And when we were doing the post-game show, I mean, and again, I was on cloud nine. I'm not even I loved everything about the atmosphere, the phone lights. Uh-huh. They had kind of their own little Wabash Cannonball thing that Kansas State does with some rap song. I don't know what it was. It was great. It was great. The person that drove us from the stadium out to our car, because we're parked 20 miles away, said it was the best road environment that she'd had since TC last year.
Can I interrupt you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I think maybe this is – I was thinking about this today. Mm-hmm. What people probably should understand about us is you and I are not analysts. We are reporters. We're journalists. I call the game. You report on the sidelines. I have a radio show, so I have to every once in a while give opinions on sports, and I'm terrible at it. I openly admit I couldn't. My win loss record in those pick contests and all kinds of stuff is just god awful. I'm not an analyst. I just go to observe a game and call a game, and you're a lot the same way. You're trying to get injury reports on the sidelines, and you're in the middle of it, and you're reporting what the atmosphere is like. And for guys like us, Saturday night, sensory overload.
Yeah, thank you. There you go. That's the best way to put it.
It's just it's a pinball machine of excitement and back and forth, and the fans, bing, 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 bing. Meanwhile, juxtapose that with Teddy and Rufus and Coach Merv, who are analysts and are a part of our crew and are just beating their head against the wall or the bench or whatever they can get close to about the way that the defense is playing and the things that are going wrong, because that's the way they see the game. We see the games differently because our brains work differently. So that's why as soon as the game's over, you're tweeting, incredible. And Ted's probably in the fetal position on the bus, weeping.
He wasn't happy.
Yeah. So go ahead. Finish what you're going
to
say.
Well, no, and that was going to be my point is, and you made it for me brilliantly, much better than I would have, because here I am with Teddy afterwards, and like, there's nothing good about this. There's nothing good about this. And, you know, he's pointing out those things that you think you see, like linebacker drops, and by that they're dropping coverage and not being deep enough or being too deep in some instances. Losing contain whenever Mahomes, you know, Patrick Mahomes, what did he almost finished with 100 yards rushing, didn't he?
80-some, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rufus was a little bit more disappointing in the secondary, too. Coach Murr brought up quite a bit. And I see all those things, and in my mind, I'm like, But we scored 60. but I'm in, and we interviewed Joe Mixon, who was great, and we interviewed Baker, and you're smiling, and you're happy. And then when you talk to Jordan Evans and you see Stephen Parker, you're like, yeah, they're team guys and they want to win. But the point, it's very personal.
They're hurting.
Yeah, it's very personal to them. And that's why I think sometimes my inner fan needs to be a little bit more analytical in it and realize, okay, calm down. Whenever you're talking to Jordan Evans, hey, man, it's got great win. Congratulations. And everyone kind of looks at you. You're like, oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry. Yeah. You know, it's one of those situations to where he brought up a great point to a question. I was like, how frustrated are you? Are you frustrated? He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, oh, trust me, I'm frustrated right now. I'm like, where do you start? He goes, the mirror. And I thought that was a really key moment. Teddy Lehman, of course, on the broadcast, and don't think he needs an introduction on this press conference. Everyone knows who he is. But his point is, you're right, they need a mirror. They need a bunch of them, and then went through a laundry list of things. But I guess my point is, where my exuberance was there because they won it, because it was an offensive showcase, and it's something we're never going to forget our entire life. Boy, there was from just about everyone I knew, that was as frustrated of the the analysts that I've seen in a long time, Toby. And I think everything's fixable. I mean, isn't it?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy. I hope so. It was eerily similar to the West Virginia game, the 50-49 game in Morgantown. We'll see. The injuries are a major problem, and hopefully Oboe's not out, and hopefully Romar's not out, because, I mean, they just can't – they can't afford how many they have right now on defense, much less anymore. So is that kind of thing going to get better? I don't know. There was kind of some hope that was given today about Charles Walker and Matt Diamond. Can a defense halfway through the season, a little over halfway through the season right now, instantaneously get significantly better? I don't know. I mean, it would be like let's imagine it was an offense that's averaging 12 points a game or something. Mm-hmm. It would be hard pressed to say, well, let's hope they can flip a switch and suddenly be averaging 40.
True, good point.
Because you either got it or you don't. So I think Oklahoma's path to victory the rest of the year, in all likelihood, is outscoring teams. And the good news there is they're capable of it, you know, and that's not going to settle well. To give up 30 points and win, or 40, like they did against TCU. They've won three Big 12 games, Chris, that they've given up 40-plus points. They beat TCU, Texas, and now Texas Tech. Won all three and allowed 40 points, which is amazing. So, you know, let's say you give up 30 points a game the rest of the way here. Well, then you got to get 31. And if you do, you win the game, and that's what ultimately you keep track of is wins and losses. I mean, it would be great if they could flip a switch and all of a sudden they're shutting teams out the rest of the way. But unlikely, and certainly in this conference, I think unlikely.
Texas Tech was pretty good on third down, which I did the math today. It was a quick math. They averaged 3rd and 8. They were kind of, they would
20 of 25. Think about that. Here, the third down, I'm glad you brought that up. Okay, one, for a team to have 25 third downs, never heard of that? To have 25 third downs in a game. Okay, so that's amazing.
And then add 2 4th downs.
They get 20 of them. That's 80%. And they averaged, you said, 3rd and 8. What? I mean, that's mind-boggling. Okay, here's another stat. Do you know how many third downs OU had in the second half?
I didn't even look.
3. they scored 66 points. What was the score at halftime? Help me out here.
I've got it pulled up. I just put my
How many
computer
did they
down.
Score in the second half? Doesn't matter. They scored
I'll
a
pull it up right here. I
they scored
right
a
here.
Touchdown on every possession of the second half.
The score at the half was 30-24.
Okay, so they scored 36 points in the second half and had 3 third downs. Not picked up 3 third downs, had 3 third downs. That means they were moving the ball with such ease that they only went to 3rd down 3 times. Think about that.
And how rarely were they even in the red zone, too. That was my favorite. And I think it was what we finally got to the point in the second half where they got there twice.
Something like that. They were scoring from so far out that we have a red zone sponsor on our radio broadcast. They weren't getting red hardly at all because OU never got inside the 20 on offense because they kept scoring from the 40 and beyond.
I got
astonishing night.
I got a kick out of Coach Merv. At one point, we put him in 3rd and 20, and it was late. And I was feeling pretty good about that at that point. I was like, all right, you know, here we go. Get a stop here. Score a touchdown. You know, they had their run. And Coach Merv goes, well, they got us right where they want us. And sure enough, I think they scored on the very next play. It was a ridiculous – it's funny now because I was thinking about this with your scene setter. that you did, kind of with the Old West feel, right. The shootout. Could there have been a scene setter that ended up playing out more perfectly than that did?
It's a great thing about sports, and especially college sports, and with Kansas coming to town this week, it just drives this point home, is you never know.
You never
know. When you show up at a stadium or an arena like we did 2 years ago when Kansas came here, nobody was excited about that game. It was Kansas coming to town. It was an early game. Kansas was bad. It was a miserable weather forecast. We were delayed by, what was it, an hour and a half before that game started because of the weather. It continued to rain all day. Half the stadium was full. Yawn. And we were delivered one of the great performances in college football history by Samaje Perine.
Yep.
And not saying that this past Saturday night, we didn't know that there was a pretty good chance for a lot of points to be scored in that game. But for it to unfold the way it did in a game that will live in the record books for a long time, and some of them are unfriendly records if you're an Oklahoma fan, but a game that nonetheless will live in the record book for a long, long time, you know, I can't wait till this Saturday to see what it gives us.
We'll be back with a tailgate later this week. We'll check in with Toby one more time. Don't forget, tomorrow night or tonight, depending on when you're consuming this podcast, you'll be out at Rudy's for the coach's show and for the tailgate show. Ty was at the Utah State game this weekend.
Why?
I think he's got a – I noticed him in a couple of Utah State picks this weekend.
He gets around.
He does. My buddy's the head coach out there, Matt Wells. Okay. And I saw Ty in a couple of picks as well, too. But Ryan and Ty will be on Tuesday night at the tailgate from 6 to 7 out of Rudy's and 7 to 8. And then you are actually on the road for Spotlight, too.
That's right. We're going to be with the basketball. Is it men's basketball?
Women's basketball this week. Then you and I have men's next week.
Sherry Cole's crew this week for Spotlight. Yeah. That'll be fun.
Have a great week.
All right.
We'll see you guys all later this week with a tailgate. Until then, Boomer Sooner, everybody.
This has been the Sooner Sports Podcast. Make sure to get all the latest episodes online right now at Soonersports.tv/podcast. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at OU On The Air.